The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
From verse number 1, Joshua chapter 5, from verse number 1, I believe to 12. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea head, that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was there spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not been circumcised. Verse 6, and the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which he swore unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. Verse 8, and it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the same day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. I'm preaching on the topic, rolling away the reproach. Now, Israel has started their journey from Egypt, and for 40 years they had been wandering in the wilderness. Now, they were very close to entering Jericho, but they were required to get some things done. All this while, God had dealt with them by his mercies, by his grace. But when they got to a certain stage in the final aspects of their journey, God will require specifically that a certain aspect of the covenant that he made with their forebears, particularly Abraham, must be honored. All this while, it seemed as if God had ignored it. But it got to a time that God wanted them to take charge and take responsibility and do the right things to honor them. So we are told in verse 1 that they crossed the Jordan, and the nations that were on that other side, when they heard of it, their hearts began to melt. They became afraid. They realized that these people were people that had a God, and that God would even make a way where there was no way. And so they were scared that Israel will run over them and Israel will have the victory. But then in verse 2, at this time the Bible says, and the Lord said to Joshua, make thee sharp knives. So that's Joshua chapter 5 verse 2. Make thee sharp knives and circumcise the children of Israel at the heel of their foreskin. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt and were males, even all the men of war died in the wilderness, by the way, as they came out of Egypt. The way the Bible is presenting this, that this was supposed to be the second circumcision. The first circumcision must have occurred in Egypt before they left there. So in Egypt, all those that were born in that land and they were males were circumcised on the tip of the foreskin of their flesh. And so while they journeyed through the wilderness, that generation was circumcised. But there was another generation that was born in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they were not circumcised. So for 40 years, as they were wandering and going round and round in the wilderness, they were not circumcised. According to the covenant that God made with Abraham in time past, each male child born to the household of Israel was to be circumcised on the foreskin of, or on the flesh of the foreskin. And that will ratify the covenant that will was a part of the fulfillment. It was a part of the obedience. It was considered as honor and not rebellion in that particular regard. So God was telling Israel that you cannot enter the promised land this way. You'll be defeated. I want you to go back, remember the covenant we had, so that you get everybody circumcised, let them heal completely before we proceed to attack Jericho. There were over 600,000 men in this instance. And God told Joshua, make these sharp knives. I don't know the others who assisted Joshua to do that, but over 600,000 is a huge number. I don't know how many weeks, how many days, I don't know how many months it took for this kind of procedure to be done on the men. And they had to wait till they were completely healed before they could move together again as a congregation. So I'm going to make some analysis now. Number one, the situation of no circumcision for the household of Israel, the men of Israel, number one, was a lack of observation of the covenant and the laws of God. It represents a lack of observation. God didn't give the laws, and God didn't enact a covenant with his people because he just wanted to do something. He wanted to bless them, and it was required of Israel to play their part in obedience so God will bless them. So their failure to circumcise their children was a lack of observance of the covenant and the laws of God. Number two, the lack of circumcision represented sin. It typifies sin, and sin typified rebellion. Remember, God was against Moses, and he nearly killed Moses' son, but for the intervention of Zipporah, who took a sharp stone and cut off the flesh on the tip of the foreskin, and she threw the flesh at Moses to remind Moses that you have a job to do, but you were not doing it. It's important to appreciate the fact that in the sight of God, what should be done and is not done represents rebellion. That means you have taken your own path other than the path of God. That means you have taken your own ways other than the ways of God. That means you are pursuing your own course other than what God has stated in his word. Number three, the situation of no circumcision typified the lack of breakaway from the traditions and customs of Egypt. It typified the lack of breakaway from the traditions and the customs in Egypt. God wanted Israel to be completely broken away from those things. He says, don't meddle with them, don't intermarry them, and don't seek to be like them. I have called you above all nations. I have called you to be a unique people, a peculiar people. I have called you to be a holy nation. I have called you to stay pure for me and to follow the tenets and the laws and commandments that I give you based on the covenant that I have established with you. So this typifies a lack of disenchantment from the traditions and the customs of Egypt. And on the fourth one, the lack of circumcision typifies shame. So number one, it typifies lack of observance of the covenant and the laws of God. Number two, it typifies sin, which represents rebellion. Number three, it typifies the lack of breakaway or disenchantment from the traditions and the customs of Egypt. And number four, it typifies shame. So a whole generation was born in the wilderness who had not been circumcised. The last time they were circumcised was in Egypt. And they had come to a place now where they were just about to attack the people that were inhabiting the promised land. And God wanted them to be thoroughly prepared to take away the rebellion, to take away the sin, to take away the reproach, to take away anything that they had not broken away from, to break away from it so that he will usher them properly into the promised land. So he said, he requested in verse 2 that they must be circumcised at the heel of their foreskin. So Joshua took sharp knives and he began to cut. Can I tell you something? Every father in a family must have a sharp knife. Every mother in a family must have a sharp knife. Oh, let me hear a better amen. Every pastor must have a sharp knife. There is a time when some things must be cut sharply. And I will cite this example. I remember when our children were young and they were growing up, and some of them were in their adolescent stages. They'll be having conversation with their mother, my wife, and they may say something. I may not have heard it. Then I will see Mama Betty pick a sharp knife, in quotes, and say, "We don't say it this way. Stop it. Don't say it this way." I keep quiet, because it's a time for sharp knife. It's a time for sharp rebuke. It is a time for serious correction. Otherwise, if they pass this stage, there'll be no opportunity to correct them any longer. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? If a father of a household is too soft and too nice and never lifts a sharp knife, he will spoil the children. God said, "Joshua, sharpen the knife. Get sharp knives, because this operation must be done. And it must be done sharply." Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Sometimes people get angry with pastors because once in a while they pick a sharp knife. Somebody is not honoring the tithe, then they pick a sharp knife. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. People are not coming early and he picks a sharp knife. So don't be too worried. Tell the next person, don't be disturbed. A pastor without a sharp knife will raise a rebellious congregation. Oh, I think you can clap for the Lord. I was reflecting over countries like Colombia. Why should Colombia be referred to as like number one cocaine producing country? Although this product is destroying many lives in the world, it's because leadership failed to leave the sharp knife. Why is there a lot of robbery in some West African countries? You and I know. And it's as if somebody will be kidnapped and the police will support the family to pay them a ransom and the person will be released. It won't happen in Ghana. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Somebody must lift a sharp knife and deal with the matter once and for all. Say amen to that, somebody. Otherwise, we'll have a nation that there's no law, there's no order, everything is chaotic. And things are not fine. So tell the next person, take a sharp knife. You are a mother, you are a father, take a sharp knife. So sharp knives represent sharp rebuke, drastic action, an uncompromising word, dealing with the problem at the root, and cutting the problem or disobedience completely. There will be a lot of pain, but it must be done. There will be a lot of discomfort, but it must be done. You think it was nice for Zipporah in Exodus 4 from verse 24 to 26 for Zipporah, Moses' wife, to pick sharp knife and start circumcising their child? I don't know why Moses was not doing it. And God nearly killed the child. And Zipporah was fast and did it. When she finished, she threw the foreskin she had cut on Moses, reminding him that you have a covenant with God and you are failing to do what you should do. So this should be a reminder for you. And next time, you must learn to insist that all the male children born in your household must be circumcised. Can you put your hands together and say amen unto the Lord? So that day when the whole process was completed, when the entire procedure of cutting off the tip of the foreskin was ended, God appeared in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 5 and said, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you." Tonight, in the name of Jesus, reproaches shall be rolled away. In the book of Colossians, we are told that in the New Testament, our circumcision is not necessarily of the foreskin of the flesh, but our circumcision is of the heart. If you look at Colossians chapter 2 from verse 11 to 12, it's talking about circumcision that only Christ can do for us. Ours is an inward circumcision. Ours is a circumcision that is done by the Holy Spirit. Ours is a circumcision where the foreskins of our hearts are taken off so that we'll be more sensitive to God, we'll be more obedient to God, and we will follow God and hear the voice of God in our hearts. But having said that and established the fact that the Old Testament based more on the flesh and the New Testament focused more on the spiritual, tonight there are still things that have to be rolled away. And the Bible says that day when that thing was rolled away, that place was named Gilgal. That place was named Gilgal. Gilgal means to roll away. Gilgal means something that goes round like a wheel or like a circle. And finally, Gilgal means an end. So one Gilgal to roll away. Today, sin will be rolled away. Can I hear a better amen from somebody? I say sin will be rolled away from the church. Sin will be rolled away from your community. Sin will be rolled away from the nation. And sin will be rolled away from our lives. If you have any agreement with the word, can you clap? Can you shout for God's glory? Oh, shout, 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 shout. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, Proverbs 14, 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness, right living, right standing with God, exalts. The word exalts in the Latin means to lift up. So righteousness has the capacity to lift you up. It just automatically lifts you up. Today, as sin is rolled away, we shall be lifted up in the presence of God. The work of God shall be lifted up again. The word exalts also means to honor. So righteousness brings honor to a nation, to a people. But sin, that is transgression, deviation from the mark, is a reproach. The word reproach, that means dishonor. It means disgrace. It means that which condemns and that which diminishes. So righteousness exalts, it lifts up. But sin diminishes. Sin condemns. Sin destroys. Sin brings disgrace, and sin brings dishonor. In the name of Jesus Christ, that which diminishes you shall diminish you no more. That which seeks to reduce you to nothing shall reduce you no more. That which disgraces you shall no more disgrace you. And that which dishonors you is terminated once and for all at Gilgal in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, shout amen, shout amen, shout. One of the reasons why I believe Ahithophel committed suicide. Who was Ahithophel? He was David's number one assistant. Very spiritually inclined, very prophetic, has insight into the spiritual and governmental administration. And every counsel he gave David was good. But when Absalom rebelled against David, Ahithophel went to identify with, When Absalom rebelled against David, Ahithophel went to identify with Absalom instead of David, who was his master. And David prayed a prayer while he was in exile and said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Ahithophel gave a counsel to Absalom, who was now reigning, so he would do something and humiliate his father David. And there was another man there who was in support of David. And he said, the thing that Ahithophel is good, but David has experience. and you cannot take this matter to David, David would defeat you. So Ahithophel had never been opposed like that. And he felt so humiliated. He felt a sense of shame that he went to commit suicide. You see, shame is a tool of the devil. And shame can make you feel rejected. Shame can undermine your self-image and make you feel that you are not worthy. You have no value and you cannot receive the blessings of God. Shame will make you feel that life is no longer worth living. But I want you to know that these things basically occur in your mind. And the Lord will help us renew our minds so that we flush out these things from our minds. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Assuming I wrote an exam and I didn't pass, and the resources with the West African Exams Council, and it's inside, who knew? But then I tell myself, oh, I didn't pass. And everybody knows it. You see the exaggeration that your mind is doing. It's playing tricks on you. Oh, everybody is laughing at you. When people hear it, oh, they will laugh at you. And because of that, oh, you feel sorry for yourself. You feel that you didn't do well, and you feel life is no longer worth living. I have good news for you. If you try and you don't succeed, you try again. Life is such that you keep on keeping on until you get it. Life is such that you continue in the faith. You don't give up until God brings an answer. Can I hear an amen? It may not seem very good today, but tomorrow is a brighter opportunity. Every day comes with renewed mercies, and it's important for you to take advantage of a brand new day with brand new mercy and access the mercy and work out again. You will see the glory of God. Can I hear an amen? The God that we are serving has the power to turn shame into glory. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Did you hear what I said? If you have the currency of shame, it can be changed for you. God is ready at that forex bureau that you present it at the counter and say, Lord, this is what I'm feeling, and this is what circumstances are presenting to me. But Lord, I want that other currency of glory. I want that other currency of honor, and God is going to give you the honor. Oh, if you believe the honor is coming to you, put your hands together. That day, Joshua circumcised the people. He took sharp knives and circumcised all the men that were born in the wilderness that hadn't been circumcised. And then God appeared and made a pronouncement and said, this day, I, Jehovah, I have rolled away the reproach from Israel. I hear God saying that to True Vine. I hear God saying that to our online audience. I hear God saying that to our in-person audience. And if you believe God is saying that to you very strongly, why don't you shout amen? Put your hands together. Oh, the reproach shall be rolled away. The reproach shall be taken away. Whatever wants to reduce you in your spirit, in your confidence, shall be taken away. Whatever wants to make you feel small, as if you didn't matter in the sight of God, it shall be taken away. Whatever wants to make you feel that life is no longer worth living and it is no longer worth fighting for, I have good news for you. When you are knocked down, get up, brush yourself, prepare yourself, and go into battle. Battle again. Can I hear an amen? Have you forgotten that this same Joshua, they went to a place called Ai, and they had to fight in a battle? That was when Achan had gone to take the things that were a curse that Israel was asked not to take. And Achan took those things and went to hide them in their tent in his tent and cover the things. But when they went to battle, that sin would defeat them. Today, whatever has the capacity to defeat you in the next battle or in the ongoing battle, today may God destroy that thing completely for you. So when they came back, Joshua saw the face of God, and God told him, one of you has taken the accursed things. So Joshua arranged the people tribe by tribe, and then he would ask them to come forward. He would pray to God and ask, is it in this tribe? God says, no, until he went to the tribe of Achan, and Achan confessed that he had taken some of the jewels, the silver, the gold, the trinkets, and he had hid them under something under his tent. And so they brought the things out. They brought Achan out together with his household, and they were stoned to death. And that place became what is known as the Valley of Achor. That place became known and called the Valley of Achor. Achor means pain. Achor means sorrow. Achor means that which brings reproach and disappointment. But the Bible says that in the Valley of Achor has God made a doorway for you. Whatever is your Achor today, I declare, may you find the doorway. The doorway to success. The doorway to victory. The doorway to blessing. In your same valley where you seemingly may have failed, God has victory for you. In the same place where you think that you have been defeated, there is victory awaiting you. So when you arise to the occasion, you will see the power of God. You will see the hand of God. And you will see the grace of God working for you in action. Shout amen. Let me hear you shout amen. May your financial reproaches be wiped away. That we are seeking for money and we can't get money, let that be a thing of the past. Let the mercies of God accelerate finances and bring it into our lives. Oh, shout amen. Shout, may the social reproach that you have in your family, that your community seeks to look at you with disdain and look down upon you, today I declare, may that yoke be destroyed. May the Spirit of God visit you, visit your household, visit particularly your family, and turn things around, that there will be an overwhelming and amazing and a lovely testimony that the God that you serve, whom you called upon, has heard your cries, and he has turned the situation around. You will no longer be a laughing stock. You will, oh, come on, I didn't hear an amen. You will no longer be a reproach. You will no longer seek and not find. May God push things into your reach that you can gather. May the grace of gathering fall upon you right now, that the increase of God shall bless you, that outstanding miracles that are yet to manifest, I command the acceleration. I command divine facilitation to bring it in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, shout amen, shout amen. I said the reproach is going. I said the reproach is going. I said the reproach is going. They send your word back home for school fees. I said that thing is changing from now. The school fees will be paid ahead. There will be a financier. There will be a sponsor. And the school fees will be settled for all members of the family. Oh, shout amen. Oh, shout amen. It shall not happen any longer that you will have nowhere to lay your head. God will prepare a place for you. God will give you a land of your own. And God will give you accommodation of your own. If you believe that, shout another amen to God's glory. I said the reproaches are going. The shame is disappearing. Oh, that which made men speak evil of us, and that which made us feel as if we didn't matter in life, I say it's going away. From today onwards, there is a change. There's a supernatural change. God spoke to Israel the same way. He didn't bring anything from heaven that was physically available, but he told them, this day have I rolled away the reproach from off your life. That thinking and thinking you have been doing in your bed will end. It will be thoughts of joy. It will be thoughts of praise. It will be thoughts of honoring God. Oh, let me hear the people here shout an amen. Can I hear an amen? Shame can be troublesome. Makes you feel that God is not interested in you. Makes you feel that people don't like you. Makes you feel that you are being rejected and that they are gossiping about you. They may be talking about something else. But the people, they have ways of talking. Things that don't encourage you. Can I hear an amen? A young lady was serving a family. And people will come and say, hey, none of you to my bawa. No one will marry you. But there are people who are living on their own that they are yet to see that miracle. And she took her time. And by God's grace, her marriage is happening. Today when I was speaking to her, she was tearful. And saying that the things that some people said, including some deaconesses in our church, some of the things they said against the madam that I was serving, as if because of that she had overshadowed my glory. But she said, they have given me accommodation. I pay nothing. They provide me with food, water, everything, clothing. They treat me as one of their own. She says, this wedding, I have put in no money. It is the family who have organized everything. And we are just 3 days away from the marriage. And I don't know what to say. She says, if you see my madam, thank her for me because she has stood with me. The reproach shall be rolled away. God will silence the evil talkers. Those who always talk negative. I always talk negative. They come near you and they whisper to people around you. I mean, the best you can say is that, oh, let God give you wisdom so that you have a second stream of income. That's all. That's all. Is somebody hearing me? So don't go and talk to somebody and break the person's spirit that way. Don't go and talk to somebody and make the person feel very bad. That the service he or she is doing is foolishness. God sees from above. And when the time of elevation comes, he will promote you. God has a way of honoring his people. And he will do it in his own time. Can I hear an amen? This congregation must not be known for such negative talks. I didn't hear an amen. This lady has a job. She's been working with the madam. The madam says, now, I'm no longer coming near the business. Just account to me. So that she has a job already. Oh, I said, your reproach shall go away. In the Bible, an Ammonite king died. And when he died, they did his funeral. And then thereafter, one of his sons called Hanun came to the throne. So David heard that king had died. And that that Ammonite king had been nice to David. That is 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 4. That king had been nice to David. So David said, oh, let me send my commiserations. Let me send my condolences. Let me express it in a delegation. Let me send it to the Ammonites and to the new king and tell him that, sorry for the loss of your father. When David's men got there, they were mistaken for spies. So the people arrested them, maltreated them, and then they cut the backside of the attire so that their buttocks were showing. And they left them to go. And then they cut half their beard. So the beard was full, half was cut. So they cut the right side, and the left side of the beard was hanging. And they sent them away. The men could not go back to the congregation of Israel because their buttocks will be showing. And secondly, their beard was half. In Israel, it was a mark of honor to have a full beard. If it was not, God would have not said that how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard of Aaron into the skirts of his garments. So a beard in those times was seen as a symbol of maturity, and a full beard was a symbol of glory. To cut half off means that somebody had tampered with their glory. And to cut the backside of the attire and expose the backside was shame. So the people had to stay in the wilderness till their beard grew back again. And I think clothes had to be sent to them to wear fresh clothes before they can come there. There is something that wants to shave off your head, but that thing would not be allowed because your hair is your glory. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. There is something that wants to shave half of your beard and cut off part of your garments and expose your nakedness. But I stand in as a servant of God, and I declare that nothing, no wind of evil shall blow your clothing and expose your nakedness. Nothing shall tear your garment. Nothing deliberately destroy your covering. May God tonight cover you. The priest of old, after they had the blood applied to them and the anointing oil, they were clad in priestly garments. One part of the garment was to cover their nakedness. Today, may your nakedness be covered. May your nakedness be covered. May your shame be covered. May your reproach be covered. May you be delivered from the plus devil. Anything that intends to make you feel bad and make you feel small and make you feel insignificant, it shall not materialize. You will not go mad. Can I hear any? I say you will not go mad. Shout an amen. Shout an amen. I told you once I used to take students from the university to go and do community service at the leprosarium where lepers, you know, were kept. And in conversation with them, I got close to them. Then some of them told me, we have children who are normal children. They started with us here, but now they are no longer here, and they are ashamed to come back and visit us. So they wait till late in the night after 9 p.m. They sneak out of their communities, and they come and say hello to us, and then they run away. How can you have a mother? How can you have a father that you have such pain to visit because of a certain situation? It's as if leprosy has taken the parents out of the community and kept them somewhere else. Whatever intends to isolate you in an evil manner, we cut it off. In Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Whatever intends to take you out of blessing and out of the mainstream of the prosperity of God, we remove it far away from your life. Whatever intends to limit you and to restrict you from fulfilling your divine purpose and achieving the very objective for which God brought you into this life, we declare it shall not materialize. Let the purpose of God be fulfilled in your life. Let the will of God materialize in your life. Let the grace of God appear in your life. Shout amen and receive it with boldness. Oh, this word deserves another clap and another shout, somebody. Righteousness exalts a nation, exalts a family. But sin brings reproach. There were parents who lived more than 100 years ago and they dedicated their lives to missions and to priesthood. And their children took after them. So there's a blessing in their lineage today. The grand and great-grandchildren don't struggle because somebody made a sacrifice. Somebody laid a foundation. Maybe you and I are laying the foundation now. And we must be joyful about it because posterity will praise us and posterity will thank God for our lives. They will say that I have a mother, I had a father, I had an older brother and sister who committed this or her life to the word of God and interceded and won souls and served in the house of God for which we are getting this blessing. And just like that woman who broke the alabaster box of ointment and poured it on Christ, and Christ said, wherever this gospel is preached, your name shall be mentioned. Today I declare to you that it shall come to pass that your children shall praise you. Your grandchildren shall praise you. Your great-grandchildren shall praise you. Even your colleagues and your friends shall recognize the abundance of grace upon your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, the reproach is going. The reproach is leaving us. The shame is leaving us. Those who rejected us will have a change of mind. The Bible says after the shipwreck, when Paul and his men went to the island of Miletus, Paul gathered, you know, some wood, some sticks to warm himself. Then a viper came out of it and called around Paul. And they believed the viper bit him. And they were expecting Paul to bloat. His skin darkened so he would die. But Paul was walking normally, nothing happened. And I'm sure after about an hour, after about 2 hours, 3 hours, they realized the man was normal. The Bible says they changed their minds. May those who have evil minds against you change it. Oh, I didn't hear. May those who have reproachful thoughts against you change their thoughts. May those who feel that you are nothing and you are consigned to evil, may they have a change of mind, because God is changing your circumstances and God is visiting you and God is ministering to you in the name of Jesus. I pray God will give you a testimony, an outstanding testimony, notable miracles, notable blessings. He will give you answers and solutions and breakthroughs in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not remain broke forever. Something is changing in your life. You must first accept it now, then it will manifest. Don't say, I've been waiting and waiting and it's not happening. So this is what they are saying, let them say, no, embrace it now. Accept it in your heart, then it will manifest. Accept that you are rich. Accept that you are wealthy. Accept that you are blessed. Accept that God will give you a visitation. Accept that something will change in your life for the better now, and hold on it. And as you walk in faith, the manifestation will just appear to you. I see you running your farm. I see you running your business. I see you traveling local and international for good purposes. I see you in a good marriage. I see you with blessed children. I see you with a job, a good job. If you don't have one, a new job. I see you with fringe benefits and amazing salaries and very, very fat allowances. In the name of Jesus Christ. When men are complaining that things are not going well, you will be smiling and say, why is it that God has been so gracious to me? When men are saying that things are hard, you can testify that God has broken your hard ground and he has plowed it with you. And therefore you are seeing the benefits of your labor in Christ. I see glory. Let the glory of God fall upon you. Let the glory of God arise upon you. Let the glory of God increase upon you. Shine in the glory. Shine in the power. The reproach of sin is cursed and removed away from your life. Shine with the brightness of the firmament. Shine like Christ did on the Mount of Transfiguration. Shine like Moses shone when he came down from the mountain after 40 days and 40 nights of being with God. And I declare this period of consecration that we have separated ourselves shall be a period that shall mark distinct glory. Because to have the foreskin cut off is a great mark of consecration. God is setting you up. Within this 30 days, I say, set you up. He will set you up for victory, for blessing, for miracle, for breakthrough, for promotion, for glorification, for honor. An answer will appear. You will be shocked. This day have I rolled away the reproach of Israel from off your life. If you believe that is God speaking to you through his servant, I think you will not clap for 5 seconds. You will not clap for 10 seconds. You will not even clap for 20 seconds. You will add a shout and keep clapping. Keep expressing your joy. Release your faith in the power of God. Thank him for answered prayer. Thank him for visitation. Oh, where you were offered the left hand of fellowship, that hand will be taken away. And the right hand of fellowship that gives you a red carpet treatment, that gives you consolation, that treats you with dignity and honor beyond your expectation. May you receive the right hand of fellowship. May people open their doors to you and be a blessing to you. May people help you in the time of need. May people support you. May people stand with you through the thick and the thin. May God raise men and women. Oh, Masundarabashaya. May your struggles cease. May the anxiety disappear. May the tension be broken. May the marking of time be destroyed. Be released to advance forward. You will not be going around in concentric circles without progression. I release supernatural power to progress and to advance. You will push forward. God told Israel, go forward. You are standing by the Red Sea, but you go forward because God will make a way where there is no way. Oh, Israel came to the Jordan. God made a way under the leadership of Joshua, and they passed through. After they were circumcised on the flesh of their first king, they had the walls of Jericho ahead of them. But the power of God will come from on high. The power of God will come from on high because of that consecration that they went through. that they might inherit the inheritance and possess their possession. I declare what is ordained for you will not go to another person. John the Baptist said, nothing can come to you except it be given from above. And I prophesy that that which is given to you from above, let that thing come to you. Let nobody tamper with it. The prince of Persia decided to tamper with the blessings of Daniel. From the first day he started praying, God released the answer. But the prince of Persia will contend with him for the next 21 days. But Daniel pressed on. He persevered. He didn't give up. He trusted God. He kept praying. And the finality was that the prince of Persia was defeated because God sent another angel to defeat him. And Daniel got the solution. I see you getting the solution. I said, I see you getting the answer. I see you getting the miracle. I see you getting the favor. I see you getting the blessing because we are being consecrated. We are being consecrated. We are being sanctified. We are being cleansed. We are being purified by the preaching of the word, by the believing of the word, by the confessions in the word, by walking in the word. We are being cleansed. We are being cleansed. We are being purified. We are being sanctified. We are being cleansed from spiritual things that defile, from natural things that defile. We are becoming purer and purer and purer in the sight of God. Receive your purity. Be sanctified. Be blessed. And take your victory. Take your inheritance. Oh, as you clap, shout and pray in the supernatural. Put your hands together. And so, come, I want you to clap and shout. Pray in the prayer language. That day, the Bible says Joshua served them the meal of the Passover. Joshua served them the communion. This is my body which is broken for you. Take it. For as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death. It was the meal that will make them cross the Jordan and see the walls of Jericho fall. A few days ago, you had that meal. It is still inside you. Can I see you clap and shout for way to be made in the Jordan and for the walls of Jericho to fall? Oh, can you clap louder? Can you shout louder? Masundiri bikia staya. Ayelere masuta tatatata. Rikristo paradukia bataya. Ayemi angoto yobro stelere bakia basoyo. Ya mamandiri bikia sakata. Ayi agbatata tuakataya. Ya mamandiri bikia staya. Yeah, the meal of liberty, the meal of victory, the meal that enables us to cross both the Red Sea and the Jordan, the meal that enables us to enter our heritage and possess our possession by dispossessing the devil. We take it by force. We take our blessings by force. We declare no enemy shall lay hand or hold on our blessings. By the privileges we have through the word of God, we access our blessing. Our covenant with God is established. And in times of difficulties, he will arise on our behalf and show forth his mercy for the time to favor Zion. This is the time it has come. Shout hallelujah. Can you go around and give a high five to 21 people? High, and tell them this day the reproach of Egypt is rolled away from you. I say high five. No, high five. This day the reproach of Egypt. I said 21. This day the reproach of Egypt is rolled away from you. This day has the reproach of Egypt been rolled away from you. This day, the reproach of Egypt has been rolled away from you. This day, the reproach of joblessness has been rolled away from you. These days, the reproach of lack of finances has been rolled away from you. This day, the reproach of having no accommodation has been rolled away from you. This day, the reproach of having no marriage has been rolled away from you. This day, the reproach of waiting for the fruit of the womb has been rolled away from you. This day, the reproach of being refused visas has been rolled away from you. This day, the reproach of sicknesses and diseases and leprosy and all kinds of things has been rolled away. I see it rolled away by the power of God from the church, from your household and community. No longer shall other nations look at us and point with us with a negative finger and say, look at the Ghanaians. Every Ghanaian and every country from which you hear, your head will be up high. God is your glory and the lifter up of your head. May God lift up the head of this nation. May God lift up the head of this congregation. Lift up the head of your family and your community in Jesus' name. Oh, I have finished my message. Now give the clap all to God. Give it 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 all to God. Don't hold back. Don't hold back anything. Release his praise unto him. Release his songs to him. Release his love to him. Release his faith to him. Release his word to him. Mayondiribikaya. There is no more shame. There is no more condemnation. To those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, you are consecrated. You are consecrated. You are made pure. You are made holy. You are sanctified. Your present and past sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. Those online, you may send your offering to us on the numbers that will be projected on the screen. Amen. Please take out your offertory. Take out your offertory. Let me have the bowl. Give to God. Oh. Amen. Don't joke with God. Cry. Amen. Give to God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Please come and put your money. Sometimes people conspire in an office to put you into trouble. But I see God has delivered somebody out of there.